Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Are You Not Kentertained, the greatest podcast that is being aired at 8:44 p.m. on a Wednesday, December 12th. This is the 18th podcast that we have presented. And I am, of course, your host, Russ, and I am joined by not just Flabby, but Jolly, Kent, and the oh holiest of nights, Carrie. Guys, how are we doing this week?
Good, good. How are you guys doing? Happy WWE week to everyone.
Oh, that is right. Big week for WWE. We're supporting the troops right now as we speak.
No, we're not. We're horrible human beings right now. Like, while the one thing we talk about, they're airing once a year to throw tribute to the brave men and women that help keep us safe. And what are we doing here? Listen to Russ call me fat. Making a fat joke. Classy, as always.
I said you were also jolly. That you're taking away from that jolly.
When have you known me to be jolly?
I think I've seen it once. Once.
Was I
when
drunk?
You had a Slim Jim in your hand.
Oh.
And you were drunk. So, you know, a little bit of both.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we got a lot to talk. Well, no, actually, we don't have a lot to talk about this week. Because honestly, let's face it, wrestling's been pretty stagnant the last couple of weeks. However, there are some big news stories we want to hit. We'll definitely talk about them. As always, we'll go through them. We also have a few emails. Also up on, I want to say it's at, what is the email address? Not the email address, I'm sorry. What's the website? Is it 9deuce.com/wrestling? You can catch the figure eight that was applied oh so eloquently on me by Ken.
Eloquently, that's a term that I would definitely have used for that particular circumstance. Did you hear the crowd reaction for that?
Quite ruckus.
Oh my goodness, it was something to behold, folks.
Yes, if you haven't seen it, go ahead, check it out. It is at 9deuce.com/wrestling.
But you know what, I proved my point. It doesn't take any talent or any athletic ability to pull that move off. Any fat person can do it, which means that Charlotte has now lowered on the scale of athleticism in my book, because if I can do it, it's not that athletic.
I will say this. Even though you lost the break, you had that one bridge for about 2 seconds. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, then my arms just, they were like, nope, this is too much work.
So, that was good. But if you want to check it out, it's pretty funny. It's only a few seconds. You won't waste your time too much. All right. So, let's start out. Carrie, what's the big topic for you this week?
So, as we all saw on SmackDown, John Cena's coming back in 2 weeks, everyone.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you, Kent.
I, for one, cannot wait.
I think I said a sarcastic yay when I saw that. I'm just wondering, what are they going to do with him? I think I addressed this in the blog as well. Like, what storyline are they going to integrate him in?
Well, they have a few options, right? I mean, the obvious one is to go back after AJ for number 16.
Which is probably going to happen, but...
Right, we have the option for the dream WrestleMania match. That's always kind of hanging in the air. And then there's always, you know, Cena could go and, you know, feud with Dean, for instance. Feud with Corbin. Feud with Orton. That'd be a new one we haven't seen ever.
Never. I'd like to think they're going to try something a little bit different. Maybe... this is far-fetched, but to get to that dream WrestleMania match, wouldn't it be nice to have Cena go, I'm going into the Royal Rumble, and then have The Undertaker come out, chokeslam him out, and his whole reason was for, because he's a SmackDown guy, right? That's what Taker said, he's SmackDown, and if you screw SmackDown, he's going to screw you. Not literally, because that'd be gross.
Wow. Go Taker.
But wouldn't it be neat that Taker blamed Cena for... I don't know, one of the losses or whatever. Just blame Cena for not being there for SmackDown. Wouldn't that be neat, kind of? No, I don't know. See, because SmackDown 1, the men's title, it was kind of hard to...
You lost whatever. Me.
I lost myself.
Are you writing for Raw, Ross? Admit it.
I just try to think how they can get Cena and Undertaker to start feuding at Rumble.
Can't they just have Cena win and be like, you know what, I can always chase the title, but I can't chase this one dream much longer, so I need to get it done with? I mean, why has nobody who's won the Royal Rumble said, I want Taker? Because that's just as big of a prize as the title.
Well, it used to be until Brock won a match.
That never happened.
And now it's not. That's right, I forgot. We try to ignore that, don't we?
Never happened.
Yeah, that did not happen. Even I'm in denial now.
Don't you wish it never happened, period, now? Because they completely ruined it.
Yeah. It was bad. Bad move.
So, do you think they might, you know, like, they've talked a lot, like, they've had Nikki and Carmella do a lot of stuff revolving around Cena. Do you think we'll see Cena and Nikki do more things on screen now that's more publicly acknowledged, aside from Total Divas, for, you know, the men that don't watch that show?
That's a fantabulous question, Kent. And
judging by Carrie's look, it is.
Yes, it is. I mean, how would we integrate that in? We would have to bring in somebody for Carmella, but Big Cass is on Raw.
Well, imagine that trade. Imagine if they traded somebody for Big Cass. And all of a sudden, Big Cass is over protecting his woman. Big Cass is a heel? Could be a badass heel. And John Cena putting him over, that would be a big, big way to push Big Cass up. Just tossing these things out there.
So it'll never happen?
No. Right. Not in a million years.
Not a million years. First of all, they're not going to trade Cass unless it's for Ava Marie.
Well, the draft will be up sometime in the summer. And
are they going to draft every year? Or is this just that's it?
I assume that they'll do like what they did in the past, where like each brand got... three or six, you know, it changed every year, but that way it kind of changed things up enough. Six would be a good thing, you know, a tag team, a woman or two, and then four singles wrestlers.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I think they need to, because it's already stale. My God, Raw is stale.
Well, Raw is, but that's their own dumbass fault. They don't push Primo and Epico enough.
That's true. But
I was going to say, don't forget the Titus brand. Got to have the Titus brand.
Oh, the Titus brand. Raw is nothing without the Titus brand.
Does Raw have a deeper roster of talent that isn't used versus the talent that is used? Because I seriously went to the Raw section and I was enamored by the number of people that are at best inconsistently on the show. Your Bo Dallas's, your Curtis Axel's, your Darren Young, Titus, the Primo, Epco, R-Truth, Goldust, I think you're right. Alicia.
There are more people on the roster that don't show up on Raw.
Big Show, Mark Henry.
Do show up on Raw. I was going to say Big Show. He came back 2 weeks ago. Nothing this week.
Wait. Wasn't Curtis Axel on this week?
Yeah, to get destroyed by Braun. Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least he was on the show.
True.
Right, but I'm saying, like, they have, like, this whole roster that, like, gets very little time. And it's not, like, we can't blame the roster. There's no excuses. They have a roster. Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Titus, Big Show, they could all be in the mid-card doing things right now.
Legitimate mid-card. What do you need at the top? What, 3-4 guys at the top? The rest be mid-cards and sometimes interchange them out for the top?
You should always have 4 to 6 guys at the top, and like 2 of those guys kind of come down and then float back up and rotate. Yeah.
It seems like that would be reasonable. And they have the guys. I mean, we're kind of jumping into a different territory because we were talking about John Cena, but now... but it's interesting.
Ross, everybody's the mid-card when it comes to John Cena.
That's true. John Cena is another level by himself.
Wait. He's so high. Everybody's a jobber when it comes to John Cena. But that's
not true. That's AJ Styles.
Well, other than AJ Styles. I mean, he's AJ Styles.
It's true. Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah, Brock Lesnar. Goldberg now at this point. We got to assume. Whisker.
I think Cena's on so high of a level that we just can't even see him.
You know what? That's why we haven't seen. He's been such a high level, we can't see him on SmackDown. You know, I've been wondering what happened there.
Did anybody watch SNL with Cena?
No, but I heard it was decent.
I heard he did not bad. I did not watch any of it, though.
Backhanded compliment of the year right there.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I've heard it wasn't terrible. There were a few funny skits, but that's like every SNL. You get one once in a while, you get a gold.
So, all right. While we're sticking with Cena for a second, I want to ask this question. Is it more beneficial at this point to turn Cena heel? He's at the end. I mean, I'm not saying it for our pleasure. I'm just saying, from a character perspective, does it make more sense to turn Cena heel? Or does he go down as the ultimate good guy who only had a very minor run that not many people, aside from veterans, really remember as a heel? Like, do we do the heel turn, or... I don't know.
I'll let Carrie answer.
I mean, I don't think they'll ever turn him heel, just given all the things that he does outside of the ring and just his presence in the ring and just his whole, basically the whole packet, the John Cena package, so to speak.
Yeah.
I think the thing they should do with him, and this is something Eric and I were discussing this evening during dinner, was why don't we, since he's more or less on his way out now, if you really think about it, he's going to Hollywood, he's going on the Rock track. Why not have him put over some of the younger guys? Finally.
I think he's going to put over Baron. But here's the one problem. You don't want him to go down the road of Jericho. Jericho broke those walls down. We don't need to go down that path of being super jobber. They need to hand pick one or two young guys. That's it. Still keep Cena strong and then have Cena do the job. Don't start jobbing him out just to so every young guy in the roster be like, hey, I got a win over Cena. That does nobody any good. That rub should only go to like one or two people. A Braun, a Baron, a Cass.
A Luke Harper.
Preferably a big guy. Right?
Yeah, like Luke Harper.
Well, someone who's big that can use that push to advantage. I would say Luke is definitely... Luke Harper. No.
Sell that clue down.
I can't, because you know what? Honestly, he's my man crush of the week. Yes, dun, you guys dun, let dun. Me in. I'm sorry. You guys talked about him. I had to do it. He's my man crush of the week. So I'm going to have to rein back the clue here because you brought Luke Harper up. But my goodness, Luke Harper, this week, what a man. He may not have the traditional look of my normal man crushes. As you know, my normal man crushes are usually handsome gentlemen.
But now, you say what a man. I mean, can we have Salt and Peppa introduce him? Absolutely. You know, like they did for LT back at, yes. What was it, WrestleMania 11?
Should definite. For Luke?
But yeah.
Aside that Luke's, you know, he's more of a masculine man with a beard and everything like that, he is a producer in the ring. And most people don't ever see it with him because they don't give him a chance. But that guy can wrestle. And for a big guy... He's got moves and move sets that just are beyond most big guys. Can you name one other big guy other than maybe Taker that can do what Luke Harper does?
Mike Awesome. ECW Mike Awesome.
Okay, yeah, ECW but Mike Awesome.
Even
yeah.
Then, he wasn't as good of a chain wrestler, wasn't as agile. He just could do things that other big men couldn't. Same with like a Bam Bam Bigelow for their time. I think had Bam Bam lived, was like in his prime right now, Bam Bam could probably pull off a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, Bam Bam could. But right currently... Yeah,
it's in the rare era of these guys that can do crazy things.
Yeah, he's... Like, this match on SmackDown with the other guys, what a showcase for him. Because it got him out there in front of the people. finally seeing what we see, because we've seen flashes of brilliance. When he was in that ladder match, oh, God, I don't even know. It was such a long
TLC time ago. TLC 2014 against Dolph Ziggler in December.
God, 2 years ago, yeah. That was an incredible match. And then they started pushing him a little bit, and then he got injured. They never really pushed the push too much anyway, and he got injured, and then we almost all, well, not us, because I know much Kent loves Luke, so I never, and I've always enjoyed him, but him coming out this week, this was a way of WWE saying, no, we're not forgetting Luke, and you shouldn't either, and I don't. Luke Harper, man crush of the week.
Would you put, if you could put a belt on Luke right now, would you, or do you, as weird as it is, like, I've been a fan of Luke since I first saw him, I don't want a title on him right now, because technically he is a tag team champion, because
they're doing Freebird rules. He has a title, right.
I think what Luke really needs is 6 months of good feuds. He doesn't need to win every match, by no means. He just needs a couple of really solid in-ring opponents. A Miz. A Dolph.
A Randy Orton.
Give us Dolph again. Give us Randy. Give us Cena. AJ. Any of those guys are acceptable.
I think, yeah, Luke.
Even Luke Apollo. I'd like to see Apollo versus Luke, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was talking about Apollo. Yeah, Luke is the type of guy right now in his mix, he can do two things. One, he just needs a feud to elevate him. Not even elevate him. He just needs a feud that's going to be good that we can remember. So, your Randy Orton one. I'm still in this mindset that Randy's going to turn on Bray. And Luke's going to be the one that dishes the punishment out on Randy. Until he ultimately loses to Randy, where Randy will then get Bray. At this point, though, I'd really like to see Luke and Randy at least a three-monther. And it's not going to happen at this point, I don't think. It could, possibly.
Down the road, maybe over the summer, I could see something like that happen.
Yes. But then...
You're also forgetting, though, that Luke is a very good archer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. You're right. He's a very good archer. But he's also the type of guy who could raise up some of these other guys, like your Apollo Crews. Apollo Crews, at least they showed him this week.
You mean Apollo Creed?
Yes, Apollo Creed. That's his name. That's the guy. Apollo Creed. At least he showed up this week, but he's done nothing. Luke and him in a feud would do wonders for both of them. That's one Luke has to win, though. Luke can't lose that one.
Would you like to see Luke potentially break away from Randy and Bray when Rowan comes back? Would that be a feud that you would be interested in seeing?
Oh, that would be fantastic. That could definitely work storyline-wise. I mean, Rowan comes back, he's like, what's Orton doing here? Harper's like, I've been saying that for months now. Hey, let's team up, let's take these guys on. Yeah, I could see that work. I could see that working really well.
I think the fans would go crazy for that matchup, to be perfectly honest. And Rowan isn't no slouch in the ring. He's improved significantly. I mean, I remember the very first, like, year of Rowan. He was so green. I mean, that's the best word. I mean, he wasn't awful. He was very green. But now he can hold his own enough to make that an interesting match, I think. I'd buy that for a dollar.
For just a match, yeah, I'm fine with it. If you're talking a feud,
Sorry, Seth Rollins ain't involved. What if he's the special referee, Ross?
Still, I'd only go with one match on that one. Hear me out. My biggest problem is when they split up the Wyatt family, they screwed it up because they kept on... What's the word I'm looking for? They didn't let us connect with these guys. Like, Rowan, like, Luke did a little bit. I'll give him credit. He did a little bit. But Rowan did nothing. And it's not Rowan's fault. Bad writing, whatever. Creative didn't do a good job for him.
They gave us no reason why they broke up to begin with.
And they gave, right. They just kind of, like, separated. So, at least they would give us something. But I would like it, if they're going to do it, get Luke and Rowan separated from Bray, and this time mean it. Like, just cut the tie. And actually give us a reason why they cut the tie. So
could
I'm
they play Shinedown's Cut the Cord for the build-up?
Sure, absolutely. Cool. That should be their song for the build-up, Cut the Cord. And one match, that's it. After that, if you keep on doing it, it's just going to start to grate on us. And so I'm agreeing with one match. I wouldn't go beyond that.
I would do a feud, but I would do it right around the draft, the trades. That
so
way
we
you can
see...
You could solidly have no excuse for them to interact for a year.
Okay.
I mean, why not? Like that, because even if you put Bray over on Raw, for instance, Bray and by that point Braun should be beastly enough where he's not going to be like a Bray's little sidekick. He should be his own man.
Right.
So if Bray goes over there, I see no rhyme or reason for them to, you know, aside from an occasional tag match where, you know, they just throw that together. It would work.
Yeah.
So. You know, let's go to that SmackDown match, because I loved the four-man match. I was excited because it was finally like one of those matches where I didn't know who was going to win. I assumed Dean wasn't going to win, but I didn't know between the other three guys who would win until, you know, we had our first two eliminations, and it was became more apparent.
Obvious.
But aside from that, it was a well-told story. The athleticism was there. Luke looked like a hoss. The crowd was pissed when Luke got eliminated.
Yes, which is funny, too, because if you watch the beginning of that match, there was dead silence when Luke was dominating them. I mean, dead silence. Like, you could hear pin drops, how bad it was, how quiet.
I think a lot of that has to do with the fact of how poorly booked Luke was for close to a year. And even though he's been on SmackDown, he's been injured for such a long time. He's now finally getting the ring rust off him. And now they're like, all right, we got this big guy who can wrestle. Let's see what we can do with him. And the writers are probably going to sink their teeth into that.
Well, I hope so. Because I'll give him this. Once he started getting moving, the crowd finally started. Once the started moving, the crowd finally started getting behind him. Like, really behind him. Like, they wanted him to win.
I have a question. I'm gonna point this towards Carrie. Carrie, why is it that when Dean does a suicide dive, plancha, whatever the hell you want to call it, it looks so damn cheesy, but yet Luke does it, Seth does it, and it's all the same forward Superman flying gentle shove motion. Why is it that Dean looks so stupid doing it, and the other two guys make it look like a wrestling move? Like, Dean's doesn't look like a... Looks like he's just jumping like an idiot. Any idea?
Perhaps that's his style? I don't know. I think it's what the expectations we have for his character as a whole, maybe.
I like that his style is look like an idiot.
If I was a pro wrestler, I think that'd be what I'd go for. Make a fool of yourself. Why not? Except Dean somehow pulls it off, and he's a main eventer.
Yeah, he does. He does goofy well. He does intense well. He does a lot of things well. So I'd give him credit for that. But he does look stupid going out that ring. You're right.
All right. Go on.
I was just gonna say, Seth looks agile. Luke looks like a friggin' missile. So and it's just Dean who just does it, and he just. You're right, he looks ridiculous when he goes out the room. It's just funny.
Before we go move on to Raw, which I know Russ is dying to do because that's where Mr. Rollins resides.
That's right, that's my ultimate man crush.
I really liked what they did with the women this week. In both the matches, the promo, Alexa's... her eyes, like her... The way she moves, the way she looks, everything that she's doing right now is spot on for her character. Like, I'm convinced that she has spent hours in front of a mirror honing her skills because it's paying off. Like, everything looks great. Carrie, since you're usually our sage on the women, your opinion matters more than mine.
I think everything that was done on SmackDown this week with that women's segment, with Alexa, Becky, even Deanna, everything was just perfectly laid out. Alexa, people should be watching Alexa. They should be, this is how you play a character. This is what you need to do. This is how it should look. Hell, half the people in the main roster should be watching her right now and like learning from her. I think I mentioned this in the blog. For those of you who want to read, 90s.com/wrestling. She
good hawking.
Thank you. I mean, she is the standard to which really everybody should be setting themselves to right now. It's amazing. Like, I don't think I go into each week going, oh, she can't impress me anymore. She's already impressed me enough. No, she goes above and beyond my expectations every single week. And I'm assuming everybody else's as well.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I think she's right there with Miz on how to be a heel right at the moment. Like, if Maryse wasn't there, I think Alexa and Miz would make a great on-screen couple.
That's true. I was going to say, we've always said this, and Alexa has been a master at it. The little things. She is a master at the little things. She always...
Just because she's 5 foot, Russ. I mean, come on.
Well, hey, short jokes aside... She does the little things right. Look at her when you hear Shane McMahon's music hit. Look at her eyes. She rolls them so perfectly. Like, oh my God, what's he going to do? It was so perfect. It's just right. Like, that's how you react when you don't want to hear someone's, like, you know someone's coming out to screw you. And she acts it well. And like I said, she's always done the little things well, and the other people, everybody should be taking note on what she does and what she does right. With a few exceptions, Miz, Cena.
I think she didn't even really have to say a goddamn word this week. Her eyes and her body language told the story.
Yeah, and she's very good at that.
Yo, I know that, like, we're not supposed to really know who Deonna Purrazzo is. She's actually pretty damn good in ring. So I hope to see her more in NXT because actually she does have quite a bit of talent.
I was going to say, isn't she an NXT talent?
That's where I've seen her.
She is. Okay. And I also, in articles I've been reading about this World Women's Classic or whatever that's coming up, I think she's one of the invitees. Or at least one of the perspective names on that list.
I hope so, man. I like those fishnets on her. I mean, she has talent. Lots and lots of talent.
Lots of talent.
Good talent, really good in ring.
She has that talent. She definitely has talent where you want to see the talent.
In the ring.
In the ring, exactly.
Absolutely.
Really, so, guys? Is that where you guys were going with that? Are we going to start going into another soliloquy about Nikki Bella's shorts?
Hey, you know what? Luke Harper's shirt was dead sexy this week, okay? Absolutely. I don't know if anybody was paying attention, but it showed off his nice tan, his great biceps. He has a nice little hairy chest thing going on. And the beard, my God. Ladies, hands off the merchandise, all right?
Right. Luke Harper has... all the talent you want, where you want it.
In the
ring.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? We haven't talked. We talked a lot about SmackDown this week. I'm going to pull the focus to Raw. And let's be honest. Exactly. Not exactly. But let's talk about Raw real quick. Because Raw had, if we haven't said it enough in the last 15 weeks, something historical happened this week. Seems like Raw has something historical happen every week.
Did it involve the women?
No. Well, it does, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, then I don't want to talk about it.
We're actually going to talk about the tag team division and the tag titles. First of all, congratulations to the New Day. They are officially the longest reigning WWE tag team champions of all time. That is big. Let's at least get that out of the way. That is big.
And they don't even have a match for this week's pay-per-view. That's how big it is.
Yeah, they blew that one way out of the water, but it was understandable. It is understandable. They could still have a match. It's understandable because if they had the match at Roadblock, they'd already had the championship.
If FitBots were candy and nuts, something.
I'm pretty sure WWE didn't go when they first gave it to him in Survivor SummerSlam a year and a half ago. They didn't go, huh, you know what? This isn't going to end right before our Roadblock pay-per-view, which we didn't even know was going to be a Roadblock pay-per-view because we weren't going to split
Michael
Raw.
Michael Hayes booked this a year and a half in advance. Trust me, he knew. Bad Street, USA, baby.
But I want to ask you guys this. Did they do the grandiose enough? Was it what we were looking for? Was this a big one? Like, yes, good job. Congratulations, guys. A good congratulations to you guys.
I'd say so. I mean, it was a good tribute, everything like that. It was a good result.
You sound so excited about it, Carrie. I'm thinking that you're not quite meaning this. Could you elaborate a little more? Because I'm not hearing no excitement here.
Well, to be honest, Carrie. It's okay.
Okay, I'm a firm believer that records should be broken. This was...
Except for the Taker.
Except for that one, yes. Absolutely. 100% agree there. I mean, yeah, it was time for them, their reign, for the record to be broken here. And kudos to the New Day for doing it. I mean, they took a team who basically everybody thought nothing was going to happen with.
And that's true.
Them the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. I mean, when they first debuted, you thought... Oh, geez. This is another stupid gimmick. It's not going to go anywhere. Now it's one of the hottest things out there.
And that's a good point. They took what was a terrible gimmick. Let's face it. It was awful when it originated. How bad that was going to be. And they ran with it. And boy, did they run hard with it. And they did the right thing.
Okay. Like... All right, so Carrie, you was talking about how records are basically meant to be broken. And I'm cool with that. With the exception of the dead man. But are you okay with records being broken out of what seems to be spite?
I thought you were going to bring this up. Although
Demolition was my team. Like, they were my first tag team that I loved when I first started watching wrestling. So goddamn right I'm taking up arms for these guys. They were great.
Okay, well, now, two things. One, we should talk about it. Full disclosure, Demolition is suing WWE.
They're part of a giant lawsuit, yeah.
Yes, and that's the spite I'm assuming you're going for. That's why they're giving the New Day this.
Have you ever seen any other reason for New Day to have held the belts that long when there's Enzo, Cass, Cesaro, and Gallows and Anderson? You yourself have often said it's time to take the belts off them.
Correct.
And
I thought at SummerSlam it was time to take it away. Right. That was still 100 days away.
Right, so SummerSlam seems like a spiteful thing.
Well, there was a point, I don't know. I don't know if they were like, at that point, were they still saying, yes, you're going to break the record? Or were they, because at that point, I was still like 100, a full year, that's a great record, just go with it, who cares? There was a point where I said when they got close, at 450, at that point I was like, screw it, just let them have it.
Well, I did a little investigative reporting. Carrie missed out on this scoop. But The deal was that as long as they sold more than 33 boxes of Bootios at FYE, they would get to break the record. Fact. This is why I'm not the reporter.
Yes.
I did not find that.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't. I didn't either.
But
That's some good fake investigating, Kat.
But just want to say something to Kent's point. Yeah, I'm the first to admit the WWE does things to spite. Look what they did to AJ Lee.
Oh yeah, and they did it with Cena's girlfriend. Like, it was bad enough that they did it to AJ, but they did it with Cena's girlfriend. I feel that was actually just as much of a slap in the face as anything else.
Oh, no, that was a punch in the face. That was basically like, we're going to have John Cena's girlfriend break your record. Oh, and the guy that Punk was bitching about, his girlfriend, do the record. It was basically a double punch.
But to be fair, Nikki did start getting better towards the end.
Stayed unfair.
Yes, the state unfair. Correct, Kent. That's it. That's exactly it. But WWE definitely does things out of spite. But I will also say this. If you look, when it was official that New Day would break the record, Demolition, one of the Demolition guys themselves tweeted out a congratulations to them. So they're not bitter. They're definitely not bitter.
They have no, they don't really have a reason to be bitter. That's the hilarious part. They understand it. But there are some times, and Kerry used a great example, there's so many times where WWE seems to do some outlandish, spiteful things. Like this stupid rule where if you're fighting in front of your home fans, you're probably going to job. Like, why, who started that tradition? Like, why does that happen? And like, oh, if you're dating on somebody on the roster, and now we have separate brands, you guys are going to be broken up, unless you're Cena and Nikki, and Maryse and Miz. Like, if you haven't been here for like 10 years, it don't matter. Like, we're going to do stuff out of spite, and I don't know if that's kind of like a tough
love. I don't know if that's spite. I don't know if that's spite. See, now you're starting to get into the nuances.
Alberto Del Rio, man.
That's not spite. Alberto Del Rio is a D-bag. I'm sorry.
He's
he has
badass.
Proven time and time again he is a complete and utter D-bag.
Especially in light of recent events.
Tell us more, Kerry, since I know you like talking so much about Alberto and Paige. Could you enlighten us? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
I was talking about the backstage fight that occurred over the past weekend at some Mexican indie wrestling event where he punched out, I think, a Ninja Turtle?
Or, yes, that's what I heard.
Yeah, some guy named Mike. Not that I know anything about the story.
Yeah, sure.
So, yeah, he's a jerk. And we don't know what the touching was. Or is there? There's nobody there saying what type of touching it was. It was just literally
nobody's
his word versus...
Nobody's saying a damn thing. That's right. The frustrating part. Like, you could actually understand it if we found out, like, he openly groped Paige. But most of us, I think, are inclined to say that there's at least some gray area here, and Alberto's mm-hmm. just a hothead, right?
Yes. But now, I also read this. This is a rumor. Rumor alert. I'm not saying it happened. I'm just saying it's a rumor. Someone
Go on,
said it
Markington.
Was a... there was a lot of rumors saying that it was staged. That it was meant to generate some, interest in the brand and stuff.
Yeah, and I guess backstaged.
That
true. Happened.
That wouldn't
true.
Surprise me.
But it was staged. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I have no clue. I sometimes where I read it was not the it wasn't a Raja or cage side seats. Let's put it that way. It was one of those backside not as good as 9deuce.com/wrestling. Let's put it that way.
Well, that's because we have
lies.
One damn fine reporter.
Exactly.
Aww. And me.
Thanks, guys.
And a guy who just writes because he's been asked to. So, I don't know. It was interesting. But let's get back to Raw. Because, well, let's face it.
Let's get back to Seth Rollins.
Did I even bring Seth Rollins into this?
I don't know. I just heard you say it. That was you saying it, not me.
Raw was the tag titles this week, right? So when we talk Raw, we're talking about the tag titles.
And did anything else really... I mean, honestly, like, they spent probably good... well over an hour building up those two matches, right?
Yeah.
More than an hour.
And to be fair, they did do a few other things. Let's not say anything else, because Braun and Zayn... Interesting how they brought it up. I kind of like the dynamic between Sammy and Mick, but my God, that was such a stupid way to get that match to finally go.
You know, I'm just going to kill your thunder again, Russ, and sidetrack right. from the tag team thing. But, I mean, first of all, Foley's lost 100 pounds, which is awesome.
Congratulations.
And I just started watching Holy Foley, not a fan of it one bit, but I still love Mick Foley. I hate that bullshit fake reality TV nonsense. It's so bad. But One thing I was wondering, do you think that they're trying to make Sammy and Braun into a Mankind taker or not? Like, do you think that's kind of the direction that they're heading in, or is this kind of like a blow-off? Carrie's looking at the sky, trying to get the answers from Paul Bearer.
Possibly. I mean, Sammy was basically saying, I'm just like you. The way I am is just like you were, Mick. You above all people should understand that. So I would say the potential is there for, you know, that kind of a storyline or that kind of feud to occur, yeah.
They have the dynamic.
But here's the question. I mean, we all know the Hell in a Cell. Let's face it. That's what put Foley really front page. He was always on the map, but front page, right? How do they make Sammy in today's WWE? Like, what is the equal of that? Because they can't go to that extreme. So what can they do to make Sammy not a hardcore legend, but a guy that gets that kind of respect?
Well, it's simple. It's what they're doing. They have set up Braun to be the unstoppable monster that he is. They have been that's the one thing I will give Raw credit for. They have set up Braun perfectly. And we all hated it. The first 3 months were all jobbers. And then they finally started bringing in a few less jobbers, but people were still cleanly losing, like, horribly to Braun. So they've really built up Braun as he's an unstoppable monster. They even bring it into this match. It's a 10-minute match that all Zayn has to do is survive. And I think he's definitely going to survive. It would make no sense if he doesn't. If he does not survive this week, I will be shocked. He's not pinning Braun. I am stating that now. He's not beating Braun. But he will survive the 10 minutes.
So now, Russ, you lump us all in saying that we didn't like Braun versus Jobbers, but I'm pretty sure I argued with you that I certainly enjoyed it. Plus, I enjoyed his theme music immensely. So, just saying, Braun versus Jobbers is still my thing.
Well, I'm hoping it's over with. I'm hoping now that he's been established, we can start getting him against some mid-carders. And honestly, he should be getting a title soon if he's this much of a dominant monster.
Does it hurt that in this case, the heel and face are switched? You know, Taker was the good guy, Mankind was the bad guy, now, you know, it's opposite. Because, like, then the dynamic worked because people didn't like Mankind going into the match, but by the end they were like, hey, we're standing up, we're clapping because we gotta give respect. They already like Sami Zayn, so isn't this kind of doomed to not really repeat itself properly?
Well, I would say that it's definitely not a repeat. I don't think they're going for the same. I don't think they're going for the same direction. They're going for the same outcome. So they're going for, if they're going for Sami Zayn being that hard, not a hardcore legend, like you said, but that can do, will do whatever it takes to try to win. I think that's what they're going for. And they can definitely do that because they've set it up actually perfectly. If Sammy doesn't last the 10 minutes, then they've ruined it completely. But if Sammy lasts the 10 minutes, which I'm assuming he will, they could make this a special match. All it needs is 10 minutes. Did they stipulate anything like it's no holds barred, or is it just literally 10 minutes? It has to be a match in the ring.
10 minutes, I do believe. So, all right, let me ask you this. Does this... where do you go? Like, what's the blow-off match? It's got to be a stipulation match. The only thing I can think of that they haven't done within the past few months would be like a Falls Count Anywhere type, or like Last Man Standing, my bad. Last Man Standing match.
I was going to say, is that like the last Falls Count Anywhere just happened.
Right, yeah, like Last Man Standing to kind of build up Sammy's toughness, even though he couldn't overcome the obstacles.
And Last Man Standing actually benefits Sammy, because he doesn't, again, have to beat Braun. He just has to incapacitate him. And it doesn't hurt Braun either. So, yes, I think that this feud might end in a Last Man Standing. Which, again, that's where they're going to get their Taker Foley moment. That's the moment they're going to get it, from a Last Man Standing match, something like that. If they do anything else like a casket match, I'm out.
Does this kill off any hopes of Owens versus Zayn at Mania?
No.
Let's face it, like that promo, like the video package for Zayn versus Owens at WrestleMania, Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble, being that scrappy guy, that's pretty much out the window at this point, right? Or do they?
Yes.
Or does Braun get the win, dominant, and Sami has a comeback at the Rumble? Like, is there any way to salvage this where Sami can face Owens at WrestleMania for the belt in a dream match? Quite frankly.
Possibly. I mean, if we're building up, if the storyline goes the way it should and we're building up Sami just to look strong, not to beat Braun, but just look strong, it would be legitimately conceivable that he would factor well in the Rumble and still set up what would basically be a match of the year candidate at WrestleMania should he face, you know, Owens for the belt. Or even just face Owens.
If they go that route, they are not looking for Sami Zayn to be the next Foley.
Not necessarily, but he could be a combination of Foley and Benoit, because imagine if the last two guys in the Rumble is in fact Braun versus Sami, and Sami pulls Braun with like an armbar or some sort. I mean, he's Canadian. It could happen. It'd make for a hell of a great storyline, and it'd be unexpected, which is something that
Raw needs to do.
I think Raw basically needs to win the Rumble, don't they?
Yes. SmackDown, there's no need for it, because you can easily have Cena.
Because they actually tell stories that make sense and have good booking?
Yes,
go on.
That's also true. Raw doesn't have a... Okay. I'm going to be fair to Raw for this one. Raw has been better at their storytelling. The problem with Raw is, and I think we can all agree with it, is they are stagnant as hell. They are literally in a holding pattern. They've been in a holding pattern since September.
Is it because they're afraid to pull the trigger on a big match instead of waiting for WrestleMania? Like, this is what happens. WWE builds and builds, but then they hit this like weird stagnant point, and they seem to be afraid to pull the trigger on a match that would continue the interest until Mania. Like, could you imagine how hot Seth versus Triple H would be right now? I know they want the Mania moment, but could you imagine that feud could actually carry Raw for the next couple months?
Sure, it would be really good as long as it was, but the problem is you can't have a clean finish. It's got to be something happens. Because if you get a clean finish, then it will take away from the Mania moment. What's the point of having the Mania moment if, well, and again, see, you bring up a point. Let's say, we assume Seth's going to beat Triple H. That's a passing of a torch type thing, I'm assuming. It might not happen, because you never know with WWE. But it seems like it would be a passing of the torch type thing. Which brings me to having that match earlier, if Seth wins or Triple H wins cleanly, kind of takes away a little bit from WrestleMania, doesn't it?
Well, that prompts another question. I want to ask this to Carrie. Carrie, do we overvalue WrestleMania moments at this point? Because in the olden days, WrestleMania was the big one, and they made sure that it was the big one, whereas now we get multiple pay-per-views that are better than WrestleMania. So are we overvaluing the WrestleMania moment at the expense of having something good for a couple months?
I think we are. I mean, they still put so much emphasis on a show that really, quite frankly, hasn't been that spectacular or interest-driven since, well, that thing that we don't like to talk about ended. The streak. Basically, the mystique of WrestleMania died when the streak ended.
I think the last WrestleMania that mattered was WrestleMania 25, if I'm going to be honest. I can't remember a WrestleMania that's mattered to me since then. That was the first Shawn Michaels versus Taker match. Now, granted, Taker versus Shawn 2 was amazing as well, but WrestleMania 25 just had a vibe to it, and it felt big, and it delivered big. I can't remember WrestleMania delivering big in the past few years. Do you recall any, Carrie?
No. I mean, last year's, I think I fell asleep during it.
Well, I mean, it only ran overtime by 20 minutes, so Triple H and Roman could have their great match.
And that whole segment with the unneeded segment with The Rock.
Oh, gosh, yes. Wait, was that last year or was that the year before?
With no, Ronda that was Rousey? 2 years ago. That was,
yeah, was, that was last year when the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were involved. Or maybe I just hate anything that has to do with the Cowboys.
I think you do. I'm pretty sure the Ronda Rousey thing was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because last year would have been the match and it didn't happen because she got her butt whooped. I don't remember.
She was busy for Roadhouse 2, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Roadhouse. Russ, why don't you talk about the tag team match? You keep bringing it up and then you don't run with it. Will you get that off your chest, please?
Okay, well, I was going to run with the stagnant part, which we were kind of hitting on, so that was good.
No.
But let's go back to, real quick, a couple questions for you guys. Hit it off. We got a few other things to go through. We do have to go through the email bag again. Really quickly, I just want to say this. First of all, did it feel like just a slight slap in the face to the tag division that the main event happened to be two teams that are not tag teams getting a chance at that title? Yes, I understand why they... For me, I understand why they did it. You had to have something different for once. But it also kind of was like, yeah, the tag division sucks, so let's put these random guys together, even though they're friends. Let's put them together, and they'll be better. Because I honestly thought the second match was better. But it was a slap in the face. Kat, what do you think?
I can't say that because Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens have been tag teaming off and on here for a couple months now, maybe a few months. And Roman and Seth were actually tag team champions at one point in the early days of the Shield. So they're not just some throwaway team. And I will add, this is still infinitely better than John Cena beating the tag team champions in a handicap match, which has happened multiple times. I wish I could say it only happened none, but it's happened probably close to double digit times throughout his career.
What?
What?
I think we have some technical difficulties. Oh, there you guys are. What happened?
Russ, back of my hand. Carrie, can we get your opinion on this while Russ is figuring out what's going on?
Really, I think the whole point of that last match on Monday night was just to, one, showcase the team that just broke the record, and also get everybody else in the ring. Like, everybody else who had a match has a match at the next pay-per-view in the ring. Like, we needed to see Roman in the ring. We needed to see Seth. We needed to see Jericho. We needed to see Owens. I mean, it was basically we're going to continue our celebration, but we're also going to make sure you remember, we got these guys too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I liked both matches. Like, normally I come down hard on Raw. They were good matches, and it was actually a really great thing. In my opinion, my highlight of the night was seeing Xavier going toe-to-toe with Roman and, like, holding his own. Like, that was cool that they let Xavier do that, because I think Xavier is actually a shining star for the future. Not for Puerto Rico, but for the future. So that was my highlight.
And I agree with you. I like that they let New Day stand toe-to-toe with those guys. Big E hossed the place, and I loved it. It was great. Because honestly, for me, Big E is being held back right now. They need to break these guys up so badly. Big E, to me, is a main eventer waiting to happen. And he's just being held back right now, which is fine. I mean, like I said, they deserve their title reign. Congratulations to him. But he needs to go into the main event. Xavier, great mid-carder. Kofi is that guy who can be a mid-carder. Could go to the main event if he needs to, but he's the older veteran.
I would move Kofi right over to SmackDown and put him in the main event scene. The dude is perfectly capable of it. If you don't give him a title run, the dude is more than capable of having a main event run. He's pretty much every bit as good as Dolph Ziggler, in my opinion. And I mean, those guys have feuded numerous times. Plus, Orton versus Kofi was one of my all-time favorite feuds.
Yeah, and they do have a good opinion of Kofi. I mean, they did let him fight Brock at that whatever show a year ago or so. Granted, it was a slaughter, but still, I mean, they brought it up as it was going to be a match, so that's good.
I agree.
All hey, right.
What are your thoughts on this whole tag team shindig and Raw?
Well, just to both of your points, yeah, I think if they do break up the New Day, yeah, move Kofi over to SmackDown, that looks like a good place for him. I mean, just with the way the storylines are working there and stuff like that, I think he'd be better suited. In the case of Big E, yeah, I agree with Russ 100%. Yeah, definitely main event, maybe start him out of mid-card. All I have to say is when they do bring him finally solo, let the guy talk on the mic on his own. He is funny. If you ever read his Twitter feed, it is hilarious. The man can talk.
But he couldn't. When the New Day first started, he was awful.
Really
awful.
I think that was more having to do with creative's writing than Big E.
He was too scripted. He had to follow the script as opposed to be his own man, I think.
Yeah.
He's definitely much better now, and I'm hoping they'll give him that freedom. Really quickly, both of you, what do you think? When New Day breaks up, is it good breakup, they love each other, but we're going to go our separate ways, or is it bad breakup? Carrie.
For once, I'd like to see a happy ending. I would like to see them just, you know, say, hey, guys, it's been a great run. Let's go our separate ways. Maybe do it when all three of them enter at the Rumble separately. But, I mean, let's have a happy breakup. Not a sad breakup. I think this team itself deserves a happy, positive, power of positivity breakup.
While Carrie was talking, I was like, yeah, I'd like to see a happy ending. So I like looked it up, and I did not expect that. Lots of friendlies Sundays. Delicious. I mean, which, if that's what you want to give the New Day, that's great. Ice cream is great, but...
It is.
Yeah, I'd like to see the happy ending, but...
Does wrestling do a happy ending?
See, that's the problem. It's almost like weird to do a happy ending in the middle of the ring.
Right. I'd love to see them have a happy ending. I just love them go, hey, guys, great. I love you guys, but Big E can just go, I want to go for a different title. Okay, great. Awesome. I love you. We'll see you later.
I mean, it'd be nice if they had like an Asian valet. Then I think the happy ending could satisfy everybody. But...
Wrong happy ending again, Kent. Wrong happy ending.
Oh.
All right, another real quick part. Let's move on. When and who is getting those titles next?
Oh, that is a tough question. Because they've done so much to bury the entire division. Ah, that is a tough question.
But imagine the rub of the winners now. This is huge for them.
Only because I really want to see them have a title run, I'm going to go with Gallows and Anderson. Especially since in a few short weeks, we may see the return of Finn Balor. Hopefully, maybe.
That makes sense to me. I don't know. Because I'd love to see like some... This feels like ripe for a surprise team to show up. But NXT currently only can offer us the Revival, unless they really want to rush the Authors of Pain up. But both of those kind of double dip into Gallows and Anderson territory, and both teams are technically naturally more suited for SmackDown, which already has one hell of a tag team division. But I don't know. I think it's going to end up being one of those two teams that takes the belt off the New Day. I thought the Cesaro thing was going to work out, but
it still might.
How they I don't know how they get the momentum back for them to make us care. Like, when Team Hell No happened, it felt so organic. And that's how Cesaro started off, but now it's feeling less organic every time, like what they did with the Dudleys when they came back, right?
Yeah.
So, no.
I want to say the team that needs it is Gallows and Anderson. They definitely need it. They are some of the best tag team wrestlers we've had in a long time, and they've been totally beaten down. So I think they need it. On the other hand, the Cesaro would be great, but they don't need it. They could separate tomorrow, and we'd all be fine with it.
It'd be pointless, though, to separate. That's the problem, though. Wouldn't it be pointless to separate them without them ever having won the tag belts?
Yes, but at this point, they kind of screwed the pooch. So, I think there was a point where they're going to say, yeah, let's do it, and then something happened, and they're like, nope, we're going to give them the title reign. So, it's really tough.
To be honest, I always thought that it was they were saving up for Enzo and Cass at WrestleMania to have the two big face. You know, like, the crowd interaction would be pretty insane, right? Wouldn't it?
It could happen, but you need to get those belts off of New Day ASAP. I'm talking before Royal Rumble.
Why?
Well, if you want to give Gallows and Anderson a big push to be heels, to get that big, or are you talking about give New Day WrestleMania?
Give New Day versus Enzo and Cass the battle of the two biggest face teams right now, and just listen to the crowd go nuts. And let them put on a fun performance, and everybody goes home happy because New Day will have killed the record, and Enzo and Cass will finally get their first tag team belts because they never won them in NXT. I don't know. I'd rather see that than Gallows and Anderson. If Gallows and Anderson get them, they're not getting rid of the belts anytime soon. I don't think.
Enzo and Cass
don't need more than a month or two.
Enzo and Cass can take it for like 3 months, 4 months, and that's fine. You're right. That's a decent title reign for them.
Give them a month. They don't need a long run at all. They are so over. They just need to be a transitional champion to have that WrestleMania moment because that's what WWE values is that moment. And Gallows and Anderson can immediately kick their ass and reform the club.
That's all valid points. All right. Anybody else have anything else they want to talk about for this stuff before we dip into the mailbag?
Dip. The dip. It's when I put my hand upon your hip.
I knew you were going to think that. That was the first song I started thinking. All right. Well, before we do dip into the mailbag, Carrie, sometimes news slips through our fingers, but you always seem to catch it with your big news story of the week. So, Carrie, regale us with your big news story of the week.
All right. So, this week's big wrestling story of the week comes from Wrestling News World. All right. Apparently, Hall of Famer Booker T was on Heated Conversations. It's some radio show where he announced that he's planning to run for mayor in Houston, Texas in the year 2020. Apparently, he's been talking with Rhino, who recently ran for a House seat in Michigan, and told Booker T point blank that he was already overqualified. So, looks like Booker T may be running for mayor of Houston in, 4 years, guys. What do you think?
You know, the only thing that worries me is that this country itself is so divided racially, which it's just really weird nowadays to me that we're actually more divided than when I was a kid. But we are so divided. I'm a little worried about a black gentleman who has a criminal past. I feel that there's going to be a lot of nasty things said that are completely inappropriate. But I feel that that election could get very ugly, which is unfortunate. But I'm a little worried about that. I don't know. Maybe Texas will be a lot more forward-thinking than other places. I don't know. I wish him the best, but he's got a criminal history. It's going to get brought up, and things are going to get nasty. Social media is a terrible thing. It's going to happen, unfortunately. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. I wish him the best of luck. He's a really... Okay, everyone makes mistakes in their past. Let's face it. Everyone makes mistakes. And you got to forgive him. Booker T has done more than enough to make up for his past mistakes. So if they bring it up, Booker T can easily, hopefully, easily bring it, smack it down and be like, just listen, you know what? Everyone makes mistakes. I've grown up. I've atoned for my past. He's clearly atoned for his past. He's done more charity work than any of us that have done nothing wrong in the past. So, you know, he's made up for that. I think he'd be really good. He's a smart guy. He's articulate. He does seem to have some good ideas. So I hope he does well. You know what? So mayor seems small for him. I think he should be really going to Senate or something like that, honestly. But you start someplace. So, yeah.
I don't know. Booker's really a cool dude. I mean, he's got his own wrestling thing that seems to be doing well, too. I don't really think I've ever read a single thing bad about him. Although his... he will live in infamy for one YouTube clip in particular talking about Hulk Hogan. Probably nobody knows what I'm talking about.
I completely forgot about it.
Yeah, but you know what I'm talking about. Come for you.
No.
Yes. That's all I'll say.
All right, right. Okay. All right, Carrie, thank you very much. Let's dip into the mailbag. All right, folks, so we do get some emails every once in a while asking us some questions, talking to us nicely, not always nicely. But if you want to participate, as long as you get your emails into us by Wednesday every week, we will try to get your emails on the podcast. We get a few, I'll say.
Few thousand.
Okay, well, Ken, we'll say a few thousand. Ken, why don't you tell them the email address?
Why, Russ, they can always email us at kent@ninedeuce.com. That's the easiest way to do it.
That's correct. And it's 9-deuce spelled out.
There's no dash.
Oh, I always
it is dash. The number 9 and the then the word deuce, D-E-U-C-E. And
that was my bad.
Yeah.
That was my bad.
Or, if they want, they can go to the blogs at ninedeuce.com/wrestling. Leave a comment on any of our blogs.
Yes.
I check them out daily. And if somebody has a question, we'd be glad to answer them on air, too.
So if email is too much for you, go read our blog and then leave us a comment on ninedeuce.com/wrestling.
Hell, they can even, like, message us on Twitter, you know, official 9deuce.
Oh, my goodness. We are all over the social media world. How are we not just top of the world here, guys?
We're about as popular as Alexis, Texas.
Okay. I'm assuming that's a wrestling person, or it's just a place. Okay. Ket will explain it to us later, I'm assuming, because it seems really bad. All right, let's go dip into the mailbag, ladies and gentlemen. Here's our first email from Flexington Steel. Guys, gotta know who done it. I'm, of course, talking about Nikki. I want to know what you guys think. Who's the main culprit? Carrie, we're going to start that off with you. Who's the culprit?
I think we got to think outside the box. I don't think it's Natalia. I don't think it's Carmella. I think it's somebody we haven't seen for a while, guys. I'm talking about Miss All Red Everything herself, Eva Marie.
Way to steal Kent's thunder.
Oh, sorry, Kent.
No, it's cool. I wasn't going to say that anyway, so screw you.
It's funny because I was talking about Kent with this earlier when we were talking about it. That was exactly Kent's thought process. So I'll let him recuperate his thought process while I go with this. I do like what SmackDown's doing with the whodunit because originally it was so obvious it was Natty that it was painfully obvious. And then SmackDown did the one thing that was correct. They started shining the light on Natty to the point where we're like, oh, geez, they're making it too much like it is her. Maybe it's not her. So now I don't know who did it. I'd like it to be someone different now. I'm still okay with it being Natty, to be honest with you, because I'd love to see those two in a feud. But, yeah, I'm not 100% sure anymore. I'm going to stick with Natty just because I'd like to see those two in a feud.
Well, I mean, if you guys paid any bit of attention, you would know that the culprit is Dana Brooke. Why? Because Dana Brooke was not allowed to be on her Survivor Series team. But she's been doing Charlotte's bidding for a long time. And who had more to gain than Charlotte from this? Remember, Charlotte was a survivor. Charlotte and Bayley, and then she destroyed Bayley. I think Charlotte sent Dana, and who's going to suspect Dana? Nobody. Never crossed your mind, never crossed your mind. I think that's where we're going with this. And Dana could use that type of a push because nothing's going on with her, so why not make it Dana?
I was just about to say, what the hell happened to Dana?
She's not historic, Russ, okay? She's smart and she's funny. Get over it.
All right. Next question is by Lena. And she's asking, guys, where's Emma? Oh, I see what she did there.
Can you explain it to me?
Yes. The new name. Carrie. Well, actually, I'll let Carrie. Carrie, what's Emma's new name?
I'm not saying it. I refuse to say it. Her name is Emma.
Emelina, the new Emelina coming out.
That's smart.
Yes, that was the joke.
That was brilliant.
Yes.
What do you got against Emelina, Carrie?
It's not her name. It's Emma. She is always going to be known as Emma to me. It's kind of like
happened to her?
They took the V off of Brian Kendrick.
He still says it, though.
And it's appropriate that he does.
It's awesome. Well, what happened to Miss Emma? Zack Ryder's gal pal.
Maybe her and Zack decided to run away together. I have no idea. Maybe she's at another photo shoot somewhere.
I'd be okay with that, but I mean, it seems a little strange that they even promoted it during the show, and then they're like, we ran a little over doing what? I have no idea. They have a 3-hour show, they still run out of time for segments. Blows my mind. I don't know, because I doubt she'll show up for Roadblock, so it seems like Raw, and Emma deserves better, and she's going to get buried, and I'm already saying this right now, Emma's getting traded to SmackDown in the summer when trades happen. She's a perfect candidate. And then they'll trade Zack Orr because WWE does things out of spite, like I said earlier. This will happen.
I love how we brought that full circle.
Damn right.
All right,
Russ, where do you think she is?
Me?
Was she the one that injured Zack?
Maybe. Oh my goodness.
Would that be a second whodunit?
Perhaps. Or... like I said in the blog, until Emma is on my television screen as an actual person and not just this stupid, she's coming, I don't care.
Well, you know, I think they should get Apollo Crews to help find her because he's really good at finding missing people.
As a former missing person.
Yes, he's found himself.
He knows the tricks of the trade.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Next question. Coming from Broski 24601. Asking about SmackDown tag title scene now that it seems like Zack is injured. Good.
Back to Zack again, huh?
Yeah. Good done that one. What's going to happen? Is he severely injured? No, I don't know much about this. I just heard about his injury today, so.
Yeah, I just saw something about it, but I haven't read the article yet, so if somebody could enlighten me.
He is due for an MRI tomorrow or later today. They were expecting the results. I can't remember which.
Okay, so if it's an MRI, it's at least serious enough to say it's more than a sprain.
Well, no, because I've had an MRI for sprains numerous times.
Okay.
So, I mean, that doesn't necessarily... WWE is doing their best to be proactive, by and large, because they don't need any more CM Punks complaining.
Right.
Actually, as a matter of fact, I thought from last night, I thought Luke hurt his, like, forearm or wrist at one point, because the ref, like, checked on him immediately. Yep, I never noticed the... Like, I never noticed Zach get hurt, but maybe it's because they cut to commercial right then. I don't know. I didn't notice it.
The only reason I thought he was injured is when he was laying down on the apron and what's-his-name came flying out, and he was just like, had wanted nothing to do with him on top of him.
Yeah, that's
the
only thing I Mojo came out totally stoked, and Zach did not want to celebrate.
Yeah, Zach was like, get me the hell out of here. That's the only thing that made me thought it was kind of weird. But is he... He finished the match, so is he really that injured? Maybe it's just a minor thing. They can milk it for 2 weeks, and they can exploit it, because they're not winning. We all agree with that, they're not winning.
They are not going to win, no.
No.
All right. So I maybe they can exploit it during the match and then have mostly, I can't even think of his name.
Mojo.
Mojo, thank you. Mojo do most of the wrestling, which would be good for Mojo, because we already know Zach can wrestle. Mojo needs to...
Did anybody notice that Zach has got himself back in shape again?
Again.
Like, he's getting ready for WrestleMania season.
Yeah.
Which is one of those untold secrets that people don't pay enough attention to, that guys right around this time start hitting the gym really hard.
Yeah.
And then come summertime, they get a little flabby Orton.
Ah, flabby Orton. Actually, Randy has looked a lot better in the last couple of weeks. I think you're right.
I concur with that.
Yeah. All
so
right.
So what else do we have, Russ?
Okay, that's actually it for the emails this week. We are stone cold out of the emails. So, Kent, I'm actually going to go to you, sir, because I feel like I'm not kentucated enough. So, Kent, I need you to kentucate me this week.
Well, I appreciate that. It kind of came to my attention accidentally today, but there was this thing on Raja... Biggie had posted a picture, and it's of the three members of New Day, Sasha, and Rich Swann. All five of them are champions, and they're all, of course, black people. And Biggie did a hashtag of black excellence, and that made me think, has WWE ever at any point had five black champions at the same time? The answer is a hell no. Like, this is ridiculously historic. Yes, Sasha's involved in something historic again. Tee-hee-hee. No, it is kind of funny. But, I mean, this is kind of cool because, you know, even here on the podcast, we've, you know, discussed how sometimes black people don't always get a good push. So it's nice to see that for once, I mean, five black champions, that's pretty impressive. When you know WWE, WWF, WCW, like, all of their past, this is a huge thing. So that's cool, and I don't think there should be any controversy. I think it's awesome. So congrats to all five people, and may Sasha lose soon. I mean, good luck to everybody.
Oh, well, she's definitely losing. It's a pay-per-view.
Well, Russ, we're not at that segment yet.
That is true.
Jerk.
Because... That is actually now. Now we're there. Roadblock right. is this weekend. And
yay.
Kent is super excited for it. I don't even know how many matches there are. Five? Six?
There are six. There are okay, officially there are six. And you know what sucks? Walking Dead ended this past Sunday. Like, normally I could watch Walking Dead. No, there's nothing to watch this Sunday, so I'm stuck watching this drudgery of garbage juice. Ugh.
Well, all right, Kat, why don't you lead us through it? Roadblock predictions for this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go.
Okay, so in the first match, the kickoff show, we got Rusev versus Big Cass. Carrie, who you got winning?
Rusev.
And Russ. Ev.
I'll go with Big Cass.
Yep. Let's see. What the hell did I write? Oh, I chose Big Cass as well. I don't know whether I believe that or not, but...
You're right. Yeah, that one's could go either way.
You know, the thing is that Rusev doesn't have any friends that could help him in a tag match because Alberto's gone, Sheamus is with Cesaro, and Wade Barrett is doing Wade Barrett things, saying boom. So, next up, we got Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman in like a 10-minute, how long can you last type? Man, I don't know what the hell they're going to call it.
They can pin it, right? There can be pins. It's just
I assume there can be pins. I think that Sammy wins as long as he makes it the 10 minutes. So,
or is it no contest after 10 minutes?
I think Sammy wins. I think the challenge is hoisted on both of them. Like, Braun has to finish Sammy off in 10 minutes or else he's going to be perceived as the loser. That's how I'm... That's my perception of this stipulation. So, Carrie, okay. Who's the winner? Who's the loser?
I say Sammy goes the distance.
Does he also go for speed?
Yes.
Is he all alone?
All alone?
In his time of need?
Yes.
All right. All right. I'm also going to say Sammy makes it 10 minutes.
Man, I'd go for some cake right now. So
doesn't answer the question, though.
Oh, yeah, there's a question at hand. Let's see, I went with Braun Strowman because his song's awesome. It just okay. is.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, we got Y2J versus Russell's favorite man ever, Seth Rollins. Carrie, who you got and why?
I have Rollins because they need to set him up for the... build to the thing with Triple H.
And Russ?
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm saying Jericho gets this. He needs a build so he can go up against Kevin Owens. Rollins is going to get screwed. Don't get me wrong. But it's definitely going to be Jericho who wins this one.
I got Seth winning as well. But I think all this is leading up to a four-way at the Rumble between... Roman, Seth, Jericho, KO. Because we have to keep in mind, this year's Royal Rumble, I do not think they're going to stack it. They got to make Goldberg and Brock look dominant, and they're not going to let their other top superstars just get annihilated. So I think they're saving some of these big guys for the title matches. I think we're just going to have like a lot of Curtis Axels and Bo Dallas get eliminated. So that's my perception. That's also probably when Triple H will get involved in January. Okay, moving on to the Cruiserweight Triple Threat Championship match between Rich Swann, TJ Perkins, and the Brian Kendrick. Carrie, who you like and why?
Swann retains because it's too soon to take the belt off of him.
And Russell?
I'd agree with that statement, except they screwed TJ and the Brian Kendrick out of it. So I'm going to go with the Brian Kendrick gets it back here. I think he's a good guy for the title run here. He needs to hold that title and give it some juice.
The interesting thing is I'm going with TJ. I don't like TJ, but they did a video on 205 last night. I highly recommend, even if you don't watch the matches, I mean, the matches are okay, but there's a 2-minute video package on TJ Perkins. And it was really well done, minus the dabbing. I think they're doing something with him. I think he's due for a heel turn. Just my thought. I think
they didn't kind of tease it.
I think so.
Yeah, I think they teased it a little bit on Raw, didn't they?
They did, and I mean, that would allow Brian to drop down to the next big, the next face, so they can start building up the dichotomy, which WWE loves having. Two guys right below the belt and two guys with the belt. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's the route that they will probably go.
Okay.
Then we got Kevin Owens defending his belt against another champion in Roman Reigns who is not defending his belt for some absurd reason. I don't know why this is not a championship for a championship match. I don't know why Roman is not defending that belt whatsoever. But inquiring minds want to know, Carrie... Who do you have winning?
Owens.
Very succinct, very reasonable. Russ,
Roman, because LOL, Roman wins.
I'm torn. I'm torn. I actually think this is like the perfect time for them to like just mess with us and be like, haha, Roman. I don't want to agree with Russ, though.
That's true. You don't want to.
So I'm going to go with Kevin Owens just because Russ won with Roman. Basically, this was, I pulled the WWE and did a spite thing here.
That was very spiteful.
And then in our main event, without a shadow of doubt, the most historic match of the year, of the millennium, of the end of time, basically, the 30-minute.
There's a historical match?
Tell me more about this.
I didn't.
Well, Russ, your ass better call somebody. Because Sasha Banks is defending her championship against Charlotte in a 30-minute Iron Woman match. Carrie, who do you have? Are you going Buck? Are you going to say Charlotte's going to keep the streak going? Or are they finally going to give it to Sasha at a pay-per-view?
I'm picking Charlotte.
Learning from the lessons here, huh?
You have taught me well, Kent. You have taught me well.
And Russ, what? are you going to heed the lessons that have been taught to you, or are you still going to go with Sasha?
I'm going to spike this one. They haven't mentioned that championship title, or that record of hers in a while, so maybe they're trying to make us forget it all of a sudden, so screw it, I'm keeping with Sasha.
I say Ric Flair does what Ric Flair does best. He's going to turn on Sasha, and Charlotte's going to keep that streak going. Got to keep that funk alive, man. And, well, that wraps up for Roadblock. Can we do the Guess the Wrestler and wrap this up?
Yeah, I got to get moving. So, lots to do tonight, and it's already late. So, Carrie has a wrestler, and Kent and I have to get it. So, real quick, the rules, how it works. We get 9 questions to ask Carrie, and 2 guesses. 9 deuce. That's how it works. So, Carrie has the wrestler? Yes?
Yes.
All right. Then ladies first. So I'll go. Carrie, is this a current full-time active wrestler?
Yes.
Male or female?
Male.
Stone Cold. All right, my question. Is he a current title holder?
Yes.
Ooh, wow, I just really narrowed it down for us.
Is he currently on SmackDown?
No.
Well, Russ, we really can't mess this up too badly.
You think
so? Can we?
You think so? Because we narrowed it down.
There's a way to narrow it down even more, Russ. Really?
Yeah, I know. And we got plenty of questions to ask and narrow it down. So I'll narrow it down right now. Is he part of a 3-man team that holds the current tag team championship?
No.
Okay. Is he white?
No.
Well, I'm thinking of 3 letters.
You're thinking Russ of 3 isn't. Letters.
A-N-L, man.
What?
A-N-L.
A-N-L?
Yeah.
You'll have to tell me what that means later. All right, how many questions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, we're on 7. Oh, we got still 2 more after this? Okay, we're doing pretty good. Is he defending his championship this weekend at Roadblock?
No.
I feel like we're
Yeah, it was not ANL, which stood for All Night Long.
Right.
I have to ask, because we have some crazy weather up here in upstate New York, as you know. So my last question is, when it rains, does it bores?
No.
Okay, so it's not Raw. Ooh, we kind of... All right, I got my guess.
You also Do I get one more question, though? Yeah.
I also have one more question. Is this title holder in a WWE-owned affiliate as a champion?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, that narrows it down.
It does. I think I have my possible answer.
Go for it, Russ. Knock yourself out.
Is it Shinsuke?
Ding, 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 ding.
Woo!
I wish it rained when it bored.
You see, I was between him or Shinsuke, and when you gave the rain it bored...
Yep.
I kind of narrowed it down. Because I was like, oh, I shouldn't ask it. I should have asked it the other way, but doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I kind of forgot. Like, Shinsuke just adds to... Man, white people are doing bad with titles on wrestling in general.
Kevin Owens and AJ... Well, to be fair, they own the top spots, so maybe we shouldn't be going that far.
I'm going that far. Absolutely. Progress is progress is progress. That's how I look at it. And Asuka.
Yeah, so, you're right.
I mean, NXT is just going, they're turning Japanese. I think so.
I really think so.
Good. Want to wrap this up?
Let's wrap this up. You know what? We didn't even talk about the thing you really wanted to talk about, and I don't want to talk about it, so, because it's time to get it over with.
Yeah, I mean, listen. All I want to say is this. If you bring your kids to wrestling and a heel picks on the kid, explain to the kid what the hell is going on and don't blat and whine about it on social media. Be a freaking parent and do your damn job, okay?
That's coming all. From the man without children, Kent Waldron.
Good. Yeah, well.
All right, we will wrap it up, folks. This has been Are You Not Kentertained? And we hope that we entertained you just a little bit this week. Again, I am your host, Russ, and I have been joined by Kent and Carrie one more week. Next week is another boring week, but it is the Christmas week. And the week after that, we are talking end of the year. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. We'll
be doing our year in review awards and all that stuff in 2 weeks.
Yeah, in 2 weeks. It's going to be an exciting time, so we hope you come back for that. Obviously. But other than that, until then, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you later. Have a great night, and we hope you've been entertained.
Night, y'all.
Unreal.
It's ending. Look at that. We didn't say anything this time.
Nope.
Good ending.